Welcome to Hey Julie at julieland.com. My name's Maria Menendez, and I'm here with a kiss-stealing, wheeling-dealing, limousine-riding, jet-flying son of a gun named Brian Gross. He's a publicist. He's worked with a lot of people in the adult industry, a lot of big names, a lot of big companies, a lot of individuals. He's here so we can pick his brain.
Yes. Go, just feed on through it. See what we can find.
All right.
I'll be curious myself, actually.
I have bullet points here put together for me. Marketing in the adult business is where we're going to start. Well, let's get some background on you. How did you end up getting into porn?
Well, I mean, I'll start with how I got into this in the first place, which was I was a high school senior who wanted to work in the record industry. So I would call these record labels and ask for an internship, and they'd be like, you got to be in college, and we can't take some high school kid, you know, as an intern. So one of the record labels I called was Deaf American, and the girl who answered the phone just happened to be one of the publicists there and said, yeah, why don't you just come intern for me? Mm-hmm. And she's turned out to be one of my closest friends. And she gave me my first break, which was literally spending 3 days a week at a record label, hanging out with the likes of Sir Mix-a-Lot and Henry Rollins and Ogre from Skinny Puppy and the Chili Peppers. And you would just see the most amazing bands just come in and hang out. Because at the time, it was pretty much the coolest record label. It was started by Rick Rubin, and it had the Black Crowes and Danzig were a couple of the biggest artists on there. He, of course, dropped the name Def that summer. But, I mean, for 8 months, I was spending 3 days a week at a record label, and it was unbelievable. So when I came back from college after a year, I just started started applying and got a gig working for Lollapalooza in 1994 as an assistant publicist. And from there, went over to Warner Brothers and Elektra Records. And then I got a call from a buddy of mine at Vivid who said, hey, do you want to come over and be the publicist at Vivid Video? So I made, you know, you always have that circle of friends that you call and go, hey, I got offered this gig. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
And you get the five people and they all went, take it? It was really simple. It was, yes, you got to do this. And I was 23 at the time, so I was young, and it was a great opportunity. And that's how it started. My old friend David dragged me into the business, and I haven't looked back.
Wow, that's quite a start. You started at Vivid, and you worked there for a while. And what did you do? What does a publicist actually do?
A publicist is sort of the black sheep of the business family, mm-hmm. especially in entertainment, because a publicist publicity is looked at as a tool to help, you know, create the image, create the brand, create sales, so on and so forth, whether it's, you know, cosmetics, whether it's drugs, you know, whether you're working for Merck or whether you're working for a record label, you know, mm-hmm. you're out there to try and get your company the best possible exposure that you can. So you deal with the four facets of the media, which is the internet media, television media, radio, and print and magazines. And it's just a constant meeting of people's and growing your database and strengthening your contacts into relationship, because there's a big difference between a contact and a relationship. A contact is someone you would call, cold call, and say, I have X, you know, and I'd really like you to promote it, and here's why, and I'm going to pitch you, you know, in 30 seconds or less, why you should cover this.
Mm-hmm.
And relationships are things you build over time with people who trust you, and when you do make that call to them and go, here's what I have, they're going to go, listen, for you? Yeah, sure, no problem. What do you need? So you're constantly, every day, building your database, building your relationships, building your contacts, and doing everything you can for your clientele and for your company. It's never ending. You're always doing something, whether it's updating your database, making phone calls, sending out a million emails, releasing press releases. It's a never-ending task, you know, and you know, you take a lot of pride in the fact that you build up a database.
Well, how do you take someone from being a contact to a relationship? Because you're calling people who work in facets of media and being like, hey, I want to pitch this and do this. How does it go from being Where does someone in media get something from you that helps them out? I mean, how does that work?
Well, they need, you know, people in the media need stories. You know, mm-hmm. they need stories because on the other end of, you know, upstairs from them or downstairs, they've got advertising salespeople that need to sell a magazine, mm-hmm. you know, need to sell a newspaper, need to sell airtime. So they need product, you know, mm-hmm. they need material that they can put out there for their audience. And, you know, publicists are the provider and the gatekeepers of that material. So it's really important that it's a two-way street. It's a relationship where if I have something, you know, let's look at Hollywood, you know, the publicist for Tom Cruise, well, everyone wants Tom Cruise. Mm-hmm. So they're going after him or a Madonna or, you know, a big, big star. And the publicist has to decide what's best for Tom Cruise or Madonna. On the other end, you know, a publicist might have a nobody and they really need, you know, they need press and publicity on this nobody and this person, this up and comer. So it's really important that you're doing a lot of leveraging. Mm-hmm. You know, I can give you this, you can give me that. It's a lot of, you know, there's game playing that can be involved. So it's a give and take relationship, and it's important that you spend the time and you get to know the editors. And the most important thing to me has always been the little people. An example is a friend of mine years ago was just a music writer for a weekly in Portland, Oregon. And he's now the editor-in-chief of one of the biggest urban magazines in the world. Mm-hmm. So it's always been important to me, and one of my biggest rules is you never know where someone's going to end up. Don't burn a bridge. You never know. Mm-hmm. You never know where some, especially, you know, in the music world, I'll just take that, when you're dealing with little fanzines in the middle of Kansas or Arkansas, you know, that's a kid who wants to be a big writer, you know, and they want to get to the next level and they want to work at a bigger publication. So you got to treat them with a certain amount of respect and acknowledge that you don't know where this person could end up. And there's a feeling you get, you know, when someone's going to make it, you know, when someone is lazy and isn't, mm-hmm. you know, so you're able to do your sort of psychological, you know, situational figuring outs of who's going to make it and whatnot. So
how do you become a publicist? Where do you, you're like, I want to do publicity. I want to, you know, get a great network of people. Like, how do you start? Where does it all start?
You know, I mean, there are, you can certainly get an education, a communications degree, a public relations degree. I don't have one. It really started with an internship. Mm-hmm. And it started with two of, it started with actually like three of them. And it's a ladder. It's just climbing. It's just a constant building. So it's really important. You know, and we'll get into the adult publicity in a little bit, but it's really important for publicity in general is you have to work your way up. You have to take that internship. And obviously, it's going to be a lot easier when you're younger. Mm-hmm. You know, if someone is in their 30s or 40s looking for a career change, publicity is probably not the place to go. That's going to be really hard to all of a sudden drop whatever it is you're doing and try and literally start over mm-hmm. in a career that takes a lot of time to build yourself in. So it's a matter of ladder climbing. It's a matter of taking some crap internship or just some non-paying job and volunteering and devoting yourself and figuring out, is this what I want? Do I want to spend the rest of my life, you know, in this field where it's constant, you know, it's a constant need. Someone needs something and you have to fulfill their needs. And sometimes it can be exhausting. You have to be able to fight through that. So the biggest piece of advice is if you're young, figure out the field that you want to do it in and start working your way. If you're in college, certainly take courses on it. I think there's a lot of great programs, you know, external courses, for instance, UCLA and out here in Southern California. But all over the country, there's colleges that have external courses, that extension courses that you can take in public relations and get a bearing on it.
Cool. You're listening to Hey Julie at julieland.com. My name's Maria Menendez, filling in for Miss Ashton. We're talking to Brian Gross, adult publicist. Brian Gross, let's say that right to make sure everybody can remember.
It's not too hard. It's a last name you grow up with. It becomes more or less your first name.
So marketing in the adult industry. I mean, you moved over to Vivid, and what makes marketing in the adult industry different from marketing in any other industry?
The adult industry is different in a couple ways. First off, it's small. It's a small industry run by a small number of people. It's not Hollywood. It's not the film industry. It's not the music industry. It's a small industry, and it's a very... it's a small community as much as it is an industry of people who everyone knows each other in this industry. And once you're in and you make your relationships and you build yourself and you build your confidence in the industry, and you get to know, you get to learn things really quickly, and you get to learn who the people you need to know and who are the people that are in it just to get out. It's, in front of the camera, the industry can be looked at as a, in it to get out of it kind of industry. Mm-hmm. But as producers and such, it's a lot of family business. I have a lot of clientele that are family business. Their dad was a director, movie maker, and now their son took the reins. So it's a small community, and the marketing aspect is such where while there's a lot of money being made, there isn't a lot of money being spent. And one of the greatest lessons I learned from Stephen Hirsch was you have the tools. I give you the Vivid Girls. I give you Vivid movies, which are top-notch quality movies. I give you the Vivid name. Now go out and market us, but in a way where you're not writing checks. Use what we have as our tools to allow you to, make the relationships and get the deals done. So in essence, where you hear about, certain industries with million-dollar, multi-million-dollar advertising campaigns and multi-million-dollar marketing campaigns, that doesn't exist in this industry. And people like to think, just because they read the stats and they read the papers that say, 12 billion, 15 billion, that, that these companies must be spending, millions of dollars in marketing. And it couldn't be farther from the truth.
So you talk about Vivid, you talk about being given a star. How do you publicity for a star? How do you make a star?
I think I compared a lot. I compared working with porn stars to working with rock stars, and I worked with some rock stars that were prima donnas, and I worked with some porn stars that were hardworking. So I mean, obviously, I think people look at rock stars and porn stars a little differently, but I certainly don't. They both are in this for entertainment and in this to make money and be famous. So with that in mind, I can only do so much as the porn star or the rock star is willing to do. Mm-hmm. I can make someone famous and I can get them exposure, but they can't sit on their ass. Mm-hmm. They have to get up and work. I think of the girls when I was at Vivid. I mean, the girl that comes to mind, top of the list, would be Raylene. Because that girl pushed me to make her famous. And she would call me and she would come into my office and she would constantly, bang down my door saying, what can we do? What's the next radio interview we're doing? What's this? What's that? And I would come back with her with, here's the next interview you're doing. Here's your next event. Here's this. Here's that. And she would show up and she would do it. I think there's so many ways for a girl to come in this industry and make so much money doing so little work, having to have almost as little sex as possible, that you can be very successful and retire at an early age, but you have to be smart. And for what it's worth, there's certainly talent in this business that are very smart, and there's some that just aren't. And I can say the same damn thing about musicians I worked with. There's some crazy intelligent musicians and there are just some dumb musicians. So
do you have any war stories working with either porn stars or rock stars?
I mean, I wouldn't say that Third Eye Blind was a complete nightmare, but Steven Jenkins was certainly the biggest porn star I ever worked with. And I don't mean that he fucked a lot of girls. I just mean he's an incredible prima donna. Bless his heart. He worked hard and he hit the road, and him and I actually almost got in a fight. This is a great story. We had lunch one day. I was just starting to work with him. The record was just coming out, and it was actually his record release party. And so we're having lunch, and he's got problems with his guitarist, Kevin Cadigan. And he's like, I don't think Kevin's going to make it, and I think we're going to get rid of him, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay. So that night, we're at the Viper Room. They do their set, and all of a sudden, Steven walks up to me and is about to hit me. And I go, whoa, what's wrong here? And he goes, why did you tell so-and-so what I told you today at lunch, that was private? And I go, what are you talking about? I didn't tell anyone anything. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you told, and I said, no, I didn't. And we're literally there's people restraining both of us from beating the shit out of each other in the Viper room. And sure enough, the next day he realized that it wasn't me and called and apologized, although it probably, I don't know, who knows.
So who was it?
I never found out. I never found out. And for a good 2 years, they had problems with Kevin. But finally, I think Kevin finally left because God only knows how much he could deal with. But, you know, on the other end of the spectrum, I always love, you know, I got to work 2.5 years with Metallica, mm-hmm. the greatest band ever, hands down.
Yes.
And, you know, I got to spend a lot of time with all four of them when Jason was in the band, and Kirk and Lars. And Lars is the businessman of the band, and he's always talking shop. And James, you don't say much to. I had a couple great James stories. We were in a van in Vegas for the Billboard Awards, and the second Unforgiven record came out, Reload. And I said, you know, there's a song, Prince Charming, on it that, and I love that fucking song. He's like, really? And he's a one word kind of guy.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. He's like, sing it. So I sing the chorus. He goes, I didn't really like that song. So it was kind of cool where I got challenged by James to sing one of his songs to him, and I did it. And he was like, nah, that's actually not like that song. And I can't remember if he even wrote it or not, or if Lars had written it or whatever. And then I was at the Bay Area Music Awards, and I had just told everyone at the office that I was going to go to Vivid. I was leaving, you know, Elektra. Certainly was a shock to a lot of people, including my old boss. So I'm hanging out with James, and I'm like, hey, man, I'm actually going to leave Elektra. He's like, and again, one word, cool. And he's like, where are you going? And I go, Vivid. And I've never seen a man's eyes light up. And it was it was the greatest feeling to watch this guy just go, whoa. And, you know, obviously with the documentary movie that came out and the things that he's gone through, he's not the party guy, and, you know, the guys are pretty mellow. But the coolest thing is that there certainly is sort of a they know who I am kind of thing, because I left Elektra Records to go to Vivid Video, and no one had really done that. Well, although there were one or two people had left the record industry and went to Vivid. One was actually an A&R guy who signed Jason Faulkner and a couple other artists. He was amazing, and he's a director in the business. But there's people. I'll just finish with, you know, it's been an honor to work with bands like Metallica and Third Eye Blind. I mean, Semi-Charmed Life and the whole mm-hmm. thing was pretty amazing. So you know, I've had rides like that. And fortunately, you know, when I went to Vivid, I had girls that, you know, like Dasha and Raylene and, you know, others that we did a lot of damage. We made them, you know, we got in Rolling Stone, and we got in, you know, we were on CNN and we were on E, and, you know, we were at the Grammys and you name it. We did a lot of stuff.
Sounds very glamorous.
Yeah, it was cool. It was a lot of fun. And these girls really loved it. Kobe Ty, she's amazing, you know, amazing girl that we did a lot with. And, you know, it's cool when I run into people nowadays that maybe I haven't seen in a while, that when I worked at Vivid or lost contact with, and we sort of just talk about, you know, stuff that I had done at Vivid, because I was this kid who just came from the record industry and all I knew to do was publicize music. But I brought that into publicizing pornography because I felt like they were pretty lateral and the same thing.
So it seems like what do you say are the do's and don'ts of basic publicity?
The do's are, you know, be one step ahead, you know, make sure you know how to write. The don'ts as far as publicity, I mean, are common mistakes. You know, are really simple, you know, common sense kind of things. And the important thing as a publicist is to remember that you aren't there to make yourself famous. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to put yourself aside and go, this isn't about me. I'm here to make Frankenstein. You're here to make the next Frankenstein. You're here to make someone big, but you're not here to make yourself big. And the best publicists out there, 9 times out of 10, you don't know their names. Mm-hmm. You know, I do interviews like this every now and then. And in the adult industry, there's always a fascination with all people involved. So someone like me will do an interview now and then and sort of just, you know, do it to teach and to educate. But the best publicist, you know, you're not going to see my name in a press release. Like, that's just stupid. You know, we're not going to do that. We're here to publicize whatever my client's doing. So it's being smart. It's knowing how to write. It's knowing how to communicate. Which all that sounds like, well, duh, but a lot of people can't, you know? A lot of people don't know how to speak to someone. A lot of people don't know how to deal with certain types of people. Maybe they're great with someone who's, you know, wide open and bubbly-eyed, and maybe they have no ability to communicate with someone who's always angry all the time. Well, you have to learn, you have to morph, you have to be able to communicate with different people. So it's important that the basic things are done well, and it's important that you understand that this isn't about you. And if you have any sort of ego, don't be a publicist.
Great. That's great advice. So before we finish up with you, who are you working with right now?
Let's see. My clients right now, and hopefully I'll get it all right. Let's see. Acid Rain Productions, which is run by Mitchell Spinelli. It's a hardcore gonzo company that's doing really well, won an AVN award. Adam and Eve, you know, the largest company in the industry as far as toys, products, and movies. Everyone in the industry does business with Adam and Eve. They have a 4 million person catalog base, and it's a phenomenal company based out of North Carolina. Who the president, Phil Harvey, started the company back in the late 60s, early 70s off of a college thesis on condoms. And if you think about condoms in the late 60s, early 70s, it's pretty taboo.
Yeah,
Nowadays, it's par with the course. But back then, very taboo. And what he's done is he took a college thesis and turned it into a $100 million, 400-employee company. So it's pretty fascinating. I work with the following talent. With Adam and Eve, they signed Carmen Luvana, who's been with the company. But I work with Taylor Wayne, who has a phenomenal company called Taylor Wayne Entertainment. Gina Lynn and her Gina Lynn Productions. Kelly Madison, and she has 413 Productions. And then Joanna Angel, and she has Burning Angel Entertainment. I work with a company called Wanted List, who are the Netflix of porn and are doing very well. So if there was one other piece of advice for me, it's the fact that if you're talent and you're trying to get in this industry, you're not going to be successful if you try and do it alone. I don't care if it's a boyfriend, even though people like to use the word term suitcase pimp. I don't care if it's a boyfriend. I don't care if it's a husband. I don't care if it's a business partner. I don't care if it's an agent. You're not going to be completely successful if you try and do this business by yourself. If you partner with the right person, just like in any business, you can get screwed with a bad partner. You can do great with a good one. If you partner with someone and treat this as a business, you're going to have a phenomenal amount of success with little work. And that goes as talent. There's so many streams of revenues as a porn star nowadays. You know, I have a list of at least 10 of them that are just steady, you know? If I were hot and I were a chick and I were a porn star, I would have a lot of money because I would treat this as a business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so, it's fascinating because so many girls are getting this business. Again, to get in, to get out of it, just to make some quick money and go. And my feeling like that is, why don't you just go be a stripper? You know, you can make it a lot easier money and you don't have to, you know, you don't have to, if you don't want to be famous and don't want people to know and you're trying to hide things, you know, that's where you go for that. But if you want to be Jenna Jameson or Tara Patrick, who have this desire to be as big and famous as they are, you know, it's a lot of work, but you can do it if you do it with a partner or you do it with someone that you can trust who can help you manage the business. Every rock band has a manager. They don't do it by themselves. They can't. It's impossible. So it's really important if you're talent in this industry to get someone to work with you, you know, and, you know, Taylor Wayne, Gina Lynn, Kelly Madison, Joanna, they all have business partners. They all have companies. They have people that work under them, that work for them, that allow them to be successful. You know, so it's really important that you have those things.
So if someone wants to find you, where can they find you?
My website is www.bsgpr.com. It's Brian Scott Gross Public Relations. And my email and phone is on there.
Excellent, excellent. Well, thank you so much, Brian.
Thank you.
I want to remind you that you're listening to Hey Julie at julieland.com. My name is Maria Menendez filling in. Thanks for listening, and tune in next week.